And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome two personalities into the studio today. Frank Kelly, welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning.
And you have brought a guest.
I have, yes. This is Ken Moore. He's co-owner of Fly Around Alaska and also the chairman of the Airports Advisory Commission for the city.
Oh, wonderful. So now we'll have welcome, Ken.
Thank you.
And now we'll have an opportunity to see what that shadowy group does. I mean, you're not so shadowy. I mean, you're pretty much up front in what you...
We are.
Okay. But you obviously have had a kind of a long history with aviation. Ken, maybe talk a little before we talk about the advisory board. When did you learn to fly?
I actually started learning to fly when I was about 15 years old. My best friend's dad was a pilot with Northwest Airlines when they were flying in Alaska years and eons ago. Excuse me. And I had a real interest in aviation. That's how I got started.
Oh, wow. And you're still here in Palmer doing a business.
Absolutely. We just started our 11th year in January. We opened the doors in 2009, basically as an instruction facility, and have grown over the years. We now provide complete maintenance and pre-buys for airplanes, and we have a 135 certificate, which allows us to do commercial work, which we're trying to expand on as well. So we're slowly but surely making those growth steps moving forward and becoming more a solid portion of the community.
So you really have skin in the game in terms of flying here.
We absolutely do. Yeah. One of my co-owners is a 737 pilot with Northern Air Cargo, and he's about a 20,000-hour pilot and has been flying up here for years as well. Interesting story. I actually have known him for about 33 years. He worked for me when he first came to Alaska in 1987.
Wow.
At 19 years old, and put himself through the university program while working for me, and then got off into a flying career, and started out flying DC-3s with Woods Aviation here right off the airport years ago, and then got into DC-6s and went to Northern Air Cargo, and as they started to phase out the big round motor airplanes, the DC-6s, for cargo purposes and go to jets, then he slowly but surely upgraded to the 737 and now is a senior captain with Northern Air Cargo.
Wow. Well, what you're talking about, you've talked about one person, but I know we have some friends. Guy's been a pilot, both Air Force pilot and flew for FedEx, now retired, still has his own 185 and flies. And I don't think he's an anomaly. There are many people that have been involved in various aspects of aviation, continue to fly. This airport seems to provide a very important location for pursuing all of that flying.
It really does. It actually is one of the best training airports for instruction purposes in the state of Alaska, especially in the Valley area. We have got amenities and utilities that other airports don't offer. We have a crosswind runway, which is the only one in the Valley. Flying in Alaska, obviously weather conditions, wind being one of them, as we all know here in Palmer especially, crosswind training is important in putting those skills in your toolbox, because it is can be kind of dicey. And it's a great airport. We've got the longest runway in the valley, and we've seen some measurable upgrades to the airport over the last few years, especially under Frank's efforts. And so we're making forward progress, and things are moving forward overall for the city and the airport.
And you're a good neighbor. I say this because we live in downtown Palmer. We happen to live just a little bit north of the approach coming on that crosswind runway. And I can tell you that the airport has not been intrusive in our lives. Whether it's a beautiful summer afternoon and we're sitting out in the back or working in the garden, I know the airport is there, but as compared to some other situations where people have complained about an airport, we have no complaints.
We are real cognizant of those very kinds of issues. We have what's called a fly-friendly program, and there are little standards that we ask pilots to adhere to, especially when it comes to noise and getting out in the appropriate patterns, coming and going, so that they're not increasing noise over residential areas. The city, through the FAA and some of their mandates, has taken particular interest in being sure that we've done the appropriate noise level evaluations so that we're actually trying to keep those intrusive noise things out of the environment itself, and trying to keep them in an acceptable level so they aren't intrusive to people that live near and around the airport.
Okay. Now, Frank Kelly is the guy that runs the airport, the superintendent. You're part of the advisory board. Maybe we need to explore for listeners who are not quite sure, what's the relationship between the advisory board and Mr. Kelly?
Well, I'm actually, I work for the city, so I'm a staff position that supports the Airport Advisory Commission's efforts, and the Airport Advisory Commission is there to be an ear for the airport users, be an ear for the community, and provide input and advice to the city council.
And now you properly named that body as a commission rather than a board. What's the technical aspect of it being a commission that's in play here?
Well, I'm honestly not sure of the exact definition or difference of the two, but the commission is set up to provide advice. It cannot promulgate regulations, ordinances, and things of that nature. That's the city's council's auspices.
And Ken, how many years have you been on this particular body?
I believe I'm into my eighth year, I believe.
Eighth year.
Commission.
So you have some history. When you first joined, as you try to look back and think about that time to today, what kind of things would you point to as accomplishments or advice that has been given that's most significant?
We've always tried to be a good neighbor at the airport. I think that's first and foremost. The city has been tremendous in their response to some of the upgrades that have occurred, especially over the last few years. We have had complete runway restoration in the last year and a half. We've got some new security systems that are going in. We have taxiways that have been refurbished. Just a lot of progress, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, with upgrades and the airport becoming more user-friendly and more functional.
So you've commented a bit about the airport in comparison to other places around South Central and so on. As you think about the future in particular, and I know that your group has been involved with strategic planning, looking on into the future, 5-10 years down the road, what's the dream and direction for this particular airport?
That's kind of where we have a little confusion right now. We're at that point where I guess you'd say we're coming out of our teenage lifestyle, excuse me, and really trying to assess the best direction to move forward.
Okay.
We want Palmer to be a destination location, and there are things that the community needs to support in order to do that, and those are some of the things that the Airport Advisory Commission has been in discussion over the last couple of years, trying to kind of work with the city and know what that direction is so we can more effectively drive the kind of development that we think is going to be hand-in-hand with the city and their vision.
If I could add to Ken's comments, I really believe that the Palmer Municipal Airport is the aeronautical gateway to Palmer and the Matsu Valley. And being such, it's been kind of a hidden jewel for the city of Palmer. And the more we promote it, the more we talk about it, the more symbiotic relationships that will develop between airport businesses and, non-airport businesses downtown that will support one another. If we have more tourism, more charter flights, more things of that nature, those folks will come and buy lunch, dinner, you know, at restaurants, do some shopping at Fred Meyer, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that rising tide will be able to lift all boats.
Okay. Perhaps for listeners who know that there's an airport there, have some sense that planes come and go, maybe starting with the North End, which has some very nice green buildings, and moving on down to the South End by the golf course, describe what is on the airport. The forestry has a fairly large installation there.
Forestry has a big presence on the north end of the airport, and they're obviously most busy during the summer fire seasons, but they are there 12 months a year open, and have some other support missions as well. But as we mentioned, that the fire season is their biggest portion. We've got engine repair shops on the airport. We've got a fuel operation on the airport as well, moving south. Our location is right off the corner of Evergreen and Airport Road. There are tie downs, and we are the last, one of the last states in the union that's got a flight service station facility that's manned by FAA personnel.
Oh, wow.
Everything else in what we lovingly refer to as America, the South 48, have all gone to pre-recorded digital kinds of flight service operations. And as a result of the unique aviation needs in Alaska, the flight service facilities are still manned by live breathing people.
Right.
And it's a tremendous asset to the aviation community in Alaska, specifically because of the weather issues that we face. And they're very, very supportive of the aviation and pilots that fly in and out of all the airports around the state. We moved from flight service to the southern end of the airport, which really has been designated and designed for heavy aircraft support. Mm-hmm. New Horizons is on that end of the airport, as well as the Raven maintenance facility. And Alaska Flight Line Logistics is down there as well. So there are a lot of businesses strung out from the north end all the way to the south side, and new businesses coming in. New leases have increased in the last couple of years, a lot due to Frank's efforts in marketing the airport. And so we're, as I say, we're in that growth mode and looking for some real positive development in the future.
Now, there's a rough estimate I've had, as I look at it, of the number of light aircraft that are tied down there. Approximately how many?
It's seasonally, give or take 20%, but roughly we have 120-plus based aircraft at the airport. So a decent amount, and again, a little less in the wintertime, a little bit more in the summertime. More importantly, expanding on Ken's words of wisdom in regard to the different businesses at the airport really is kind of a hidden jewel of employment for the city of Palmer.
Okay.
It really, most people don't realize how much employment there is and how many full-time and part-time jobs are at the airport. Seasonally, in the wintertime, we're 180 to 200 jobs, and in the summer, we're 350 to 500, wow, depending on the fire season. So there is actually a lot of full-time employment out at the airport on a regular basis. And if we can add and expand to that, that's wonderful for the city of Palmer and the economics of Palmer.
Now, I know that there are, from time to time, some jumps technologically in the way in which instrumentation and aircraft improves, et cetera. Do you see anything from the standpoint of either what's coming on down the road in the next 5 to 10 years that will change the technology of the airport?
Well, yes, and the FAA is always forward-looking. Mm-hmm. That's why we have an ever-evolving airport layout plan that's done when the airport has changes or when we go through a master planning process. We look forward to the future and try to develop an airport master plan that encompasses those technological changes that will change the configuration of the airport. And so Ken can probably, as a pilot, Ken can speak probably more fluently in regard to design changes, but I know there have been a lot of interesting developments in rotary and fixed wing combinations, I think, of some configuration that don't require as much space to take off and land and things of that nature. And I'll turn it over to Ken to explain some of those technological advances we'll see in aeronautics.
We've got an exciting future in the terms of kinds of aircraft that potentially could be coming to the airport. The helicopter traffic we're hoping will increase. Something very, very fun that just occurred within the last summer is the completion of a helipad. Actually, that's going to be named, and the ceremony is yet to the date to be determined. But from John Lee's input on the commission for several years and the steward that he's been in terms of being a real supporter of aviation and other community events on the airport, that particular helipad is actually going to be named after John.
Oh, wonderful.
The John S. Lee helipad. And so we're hoping that with that the helicopter operations will improve at the airport as well. We see some military come in from time to time. We've got medevac flights that come in, both fixed wing and rotary. There's also some technology out there that's on the cutting edge. You were talking a little earlier about electric cars. Electric aviation is on the rise. They're constantly, continually testing new technology for battery-powered flight as opposed to reciprocal engines.
Right.
There are some applications out there for what's called a VTOL, vertical takeoff and landing. It's actually a fixed-wing aircraft that has a rotor on top of it so that it doesn't require the runway length. You can actually come in pretty much like a helicopter and land even though you're fixed-wing and take off the same way. So the technologies that are out there, as Frank mentioned a little earlier, with the forward thinking of FAA and the city as well in terms of what they view the airport could be and will be in the future, all those kinds of things are taken into consideration in terms of development and growth as we continue to move forward.
Now, I know that the airport property is somewhat constrained. There's a river over there to the west, and there's a golf course and some other features that have marked the edges of the airport property. Are there any plans for expansion of the footprint of the airport itself?
Well, yes and no. The airport encompasses 254 acres in total, I believe, and maybe a few acres off in that synopsis. But the airport actually leases property to the golf course.
Ah.
So the golf course is on airport grounds.
Oh.
And it's owned by the city. And so the airport doesn't currently need the acreage of the golf course, but at some point in the future, if the demand picks up, then the airport will expand over parts of the golf course if needed. But there is other areas to be developed that are currently undeveloped around Cope Industrial Way.
Right.
That we're in the process of working to enhance the characteristics so that they're more attractive to development. And that area of the airport actually supports more jobs per acre than any other area of the airport. So it's a natural progression to start developing that area and bring in more jobs to the city.
We haven't mentioned hangars. I know there are tie downs, and I know there are some hangars. And hangars tend to be expensive to build and lease and so on. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan to expand the number of hangars that are located?
Absolutely. We have been working with a developer who is going to begin the construction of a new 10-unit T-hangar complex this summer. And then if that is successful, which we believe it will be, they will develop a second 10-unit T-hangar structure next summer. So
for those listeners who understand a little bit but maybe not be clear what a T-hangar is, describe that.
Well, I'll let Ken do that, but it's as it sounds. They are hangars in which you back your aircraft in the shape of a T or an aircraft that are back-to-back, and so they are more compact and nestled together.
They aren't quite the large facility that typically you'd associate, excuse me, when you think of a hangar.
Oh, sure.
It's strictly, as Frank has mentioned, it's compact and generally for one airplane to be backed in. Enough air to do some maintenance and the kinds of things that you normally do perform on an airplane, but it's just a place to get it tucked in and out of the weather. Alaska is a terrible environment for the wear and tear that it takes on airplanes. Not only the fabric airplanes, the tailwheel aircraft that we see a lot doing the hunting, the ones that get into the short airstrips to go hunting and gold mining and adventure kinds of things, and the metal aircraft as well, the Cessnas, the Pipers, those aircraft, terrible. Terrible environmental issues with paint jobs, with winter weather, wind, spraying sand. The fabric aircraft take a real beating under the same conditions. The UV rays from the sunshine affect both kinds of aircraft.
Right.
So really, hangars are a very positive thing, and we're excited that that the development for that potential of more hangars is going to be coming to pass here real soon.
I have had the pleasure of being out there with the wind blowing, removing covers from wings because they begin to flap. And then, of course, there's that whole question of if the snow is down, do you put a cover on, do you not? Do you not? And so I remember clearly that even if, you know, just deciding how to protect your aircraft if it's not in a hangar, and up here is a task.
It's a real challenge and continues to be a challenge. But interestingly enough, in terms of innovation and technology, some of those problems are not quite as bad as they used to be. They have gone to some vented wind covers now that help keep them a little more stable as opposed to pocketing.
Right.
If the wind gets under the edge of the wing, and to cause them to billow, it's something that over the years with technology and innovation has become a little less onerous, but nonetheless is still an issue in the weather. When we get 70, 80 mile an hour wind gusts up here, I can't tell you the countless amount of hours that we have spending the evening on the airport just checking aircraft, not just ours, but others that might be in need. Retying them every hour and a half, those gusts just wreak havoc, and
have to
keep an eye on them all the time when it's those kind of conditions.
Well, one of my favorite questions I usually say for last has to do with drones. Can we see the drones coming over the hills and heading to the airport?
You know, that's always a concern with airports. Drones, depending on the drone operator, may or may not play well with other aircraft in the air, etc. So the FAA has established certain drone guidelines and limits and things of that nature. So if you do own a drone and you plan on flying it within 5 miles of the airport, you really need to call and check in and check for clearances and make sure that you're operating safely, etc. But to be honest, we haven't had a lot of drone activity or interference with airport operations. So it's been minimal, less than people would expect.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Mike Malevsky here with Big Cabbage Radio. I've been speaking with Ken Moore and Frank Kelly from the airport. Any last comments you'd like to share with listeners before we finish up?
I'd just like to say that I would encourage anybody and everybody that has an interest or may not really know that the airport is there or does, but really hasn't been out to see the airport in a while, to come out and see some of the changes that have occurred and get to know some of the businesses on the airport. We want to continue to be a good neighbor to the community and invest ourselves into the city and the activities. We're looking at the potential of doing some more community kinds of events based from the airport. Those are in the planning stages right now, and we'd be happy to come back and speak with you sometime as those plans progress.
Love to have
we want to be an active part of the community. We've got people in the city that refer to the airport as the jewel of the valley, specifically Palmer, and that really is true. It's an asset that has some real potential, and we're working hard at making sure that asset remains and moves forward and continues to grow and be a vested part of the community.
Okay. Frank?
Yeah, and I would add to what Ken is saying in regard to being a good neighbor and a valued member of the community and the business community of Palmer. The Airport Advisory Commission is been working on ideas to have classrooms visit different aspects of the airport, different operations, et cetera. So we're knee-deep in exploring those opportunities, as well as having open meet-and-greet evenings for airport businesses and city businesses and just the residents of Palmer to come out and get to know the airport and the players out there and the operators, etc. There's a lot of interesting things that happen at our airport that may not happen in other places. We have very robust skydiving events and a skydiving operation. The Geico Banner Towing Company operates out of Palmer, and that's always exciting to see those banner tow pickups and drops. That's quite exciting, actually.
Right.
In regard to, you know, visiting the airport and watching airport operations, this summer we have there's a private entity planning on building a new hangar complex that will also incorporate an airport cafe and a pilot's lounge. So on those days when you want to come out and have soup and sandwich and watch aircraft flying around, you now have a warm, comfortable, dry place to do it.
Sounds great. Well, thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you,
Mike.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.